Today's scripture lesson is from the Gospel of John, who, using Jesus' words in chapter 17, verses 20 through 26, wrote, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What you've just heard is part of Jesus' priestly prayer, what we call Jesus' priestly prayer. He was with his disciples at the Last Supper, before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was arrested, and before he was crucified. This was a time that he had, the last time before he was to suffer and die, to be with his disciples. I believe that much of what is in these five chapters of John, really, that are the things that Jesus wanted to say once again to his disciples and to reveal to them, to give to them, are the kinds of things that he probably said in the 40 days between his resurrection, when he was glorified, as he said in this priestly prayer, and his ascension to the Father. And when you look at Jesus' prayer, you see that one of the things that he's doing, first of all, is praying for himself. Jesus knows that this is not going to be something that he can do without knowing that God is doing this with him, that he's going to have the very strength and the power of God to go through the suffering, the agony, the dying, all of the humiliation, everything that was involved in a Roman execution that he was about to take. He prayed for himself, that he would be able to fulfill the purpose for which he came into this world that God had given him to do. And then he shifts, and he begins to pray for his disciples. We have those that have been with him for some 3 years, his closest, and they have seen everything that he has done and heard the things that he has said. And he knows he's about to leave them, and he tells them that he is going to leave them. They don't really get it or understand it yet, but he knows that if God's purpose is to be fulfilled, it's not going to be finished in Jesus. It's not going to be finished even in his resurrection from the dead. That's just the beginning, and it's going to be these closest followers of his, these closest disciples, to be a witness to the resurrection and to open themselves to the Holy Spirit to take what Jesus wants them to take into this world so that it can be received, so that it can be heard. And this is the church. His disciples and all of those who are with the disciples initially, as well as all of those that are going to come from the disciples' witness on behalf of Jesus. But when you get to the scripture that you just heard, Jesus has shifted the focus to those that are going to believe in him because of these, because of me, and because of these here. In other words, he's praying for you. He's praying for me. He's praying for all of us. He's praying for his church, because he knows that his purposes are really not going to be carried out if not for the church. I want you to forget just the content of his prayer for just a moment and just imagine a scene. Say that you came in here this morning and you found that this sanctuary was empty. There was no one here. And you walk in, but you see somebody sitting up here on the front. And you walk up and you recognize that that is the Lord. It's Jesus. And you say, "Lord, is that you?" And he says, "Yes." He said, What in the world are you doing here?" And hear his response when he says, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you." I don't know about you. I don't know if that grabs you. I don't know if that means anything to you, but that is very, very significant to me, to know that Jesus is praying for me, that he's praying for us, because he knows that we will be in need of his prayer, that we will never be able to be his followers, to be fully committed followers of Jesus Christ without his prayers. And he offers them up for us. I wonder sometimes about our prayer. I'm not going to try to answer questions about that. There's a lot of unknown things and a lot of unexplained things about prayer. We wonder sometimes about our prayers and how effective they are. But you know, every week in our church, we have a prayer team that comes together. And I have become a part of that prayer team. We look at the prayers of the people that are listed in our bulletin, and we look at the names of those that have been handed to us that aren't general but are there for the prayer team to be aware of. And we prayed this week for 79 persons. And we prayed for each one of those persons by name. It wasn't a general prayer. It was a prayer for the folks that we know have sort of risen to the place where their name needs to be spoken to God. Why? Do we think that we have been given, the power of God, that we can control the power of God to make the difference in all of those lives that we want to make? We know we can't do that. The reason we do that is because we know that God has called us to participate in his love, that we are to have a kind of love for one another that God has for us, and we are to join with God in sharing that love with one another, and that way we fulfill one of the key purposes of the church. And that is what's out there, you know, in blue before you. The fellowship of the church. We are in a fellowship. Jesus prayed for us. Sometimes I wonder, how well that prayer took. You ever wonder how well the prayer took when you think about the church? And sometimes I look at the church. When I hear the church, I think, well, that's the church universalists, all the Catholics out there and all of the Baptists out there and the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Independent and the Church of Christ and all of those denominations that just keep coming to my mind. And Jesus prayed that we would be one. And sometimes I wonder, you know, when I look at the church universal, you know, how are we doing with that, you know? I think sometimes we forget that there is a universal church. We find a lot of ways not to love one another, but to criticize one another. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, that's how I identified myself as a Methodist. Did you ever have those conversations? Well, they believe once saved, always saved. We believe once saved, not always saved. Well, it doesn't really matter how much water you use in baptism, or you know the predestination, or the Pope being the head of the church in the world. We could the way that I sort of identified myself was by criticizing you know other parts of the body of Christ, identifying myself over against them, not in what we shared together. You know, one faith, one Lord, one love, one baptism, one salvation, one Jesus Christ. But you know, almost every time that church is referred to in the Bible itself, it is not in those big terms. Almost every time that the church is referred to, it is about a local gathering of persons that are working together in order to fulfill God's purpose for us in their worship, in their fellowship, in their discipleship, in their ministry, and in their outreach. Almost everything that you hear from Paul in his letters has to do with a particular group of people. And what he is calling us to do is even harder than what we try to do when we look at all the denominations and how well we get along with one another, because we're dealing with people that we actually are living with now. And you know, we're still sinners even though we're Christians, and you still really upset me sometimes. And I know you have people that are in your church family that you have a little bit of a problem with from time to time. Those kind of things don't just automatically, you know, correct themselves when we give our lives to Christ and we make Him the Savior and Lord of our life. That's when we become a work in progress, and that's when we start working on all the things that God wants us to work on in this world. And that work is what we call sanctification, what Wesley calls sanctification, and it's something that we're involved in, where we do the hard work of being a Christian fellowship. But oh, how wonderful it is to think that we might actually pull it off. Do you feel like we're growing in that way? Do you feel like we're moving toward being that picture of a fellowship that Christ wanted us to be? There's a lot of one another's. Rick Warren wrote the book The Purpose Driven Church, and out of that came The Purpose Driven Life, the popular book that sold 35 million copies and such. But he also, out of that, put together a book called Better Together. And Better Together is not answering the question, what on earth am I here for? It is answering the question, what on earth are we here for? Because God never intended for the Christian life to be an isolated life. In fact, you can't be a Christian in and of yourself, not according to God's plan. The only way that we can really be followers of Jesus Christ, the only way we can be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, is to be in this Christian community that He has called the church, and what we're referring to here as the fellowship. and to work together in that. In fact, that whole book is based upon the one another's. Are you aware of all the one another's that are in the scripture that are to describe what it is that you and I are to be doing with each other? First of all, you know, it says that we're to love one another. We are to pray for one another. When was the last time that you remember praying for us as a church and praying for the people that are a part of your church, you know, your leaders, those that are seeking to serve Christ in our church right here, to pray for one another, to pray for those that are going through particularly hard times right now, to make sure that we are participating with them in what they're trying to bear right now in their life. To pray for one another, to encourage one another, not to criticize one another, but to encourage one another, to admonish one another. One of the things that we are to do is to hold people accountable for doing the right thing, to do in this context what Jesus would do. We don't always do that, and we can't always stand back as one who always does that and judge those that aren't doing that. But as one who is on this journey, we are to call each other to try to do what Jesus would do, to admonish one another in that way. We are to greet one another with open arms. We are to serve one another. The way the Bible puts that is that I am to be your slave. I'm not just a slave of Jesus Christ. I am your slave because I have been here not to be served by you. I have been put here in order to serve you. And we are here to accept one another. That's a hard thing to do, to accept someone right where they are. It's pretty easy to accept them once they have fallen in line and become the person that I need them to become in order to make me happy, or become the person that I think they need to be in order to represent Christ, or in order to do anything. But to accept one right where they are. You know, that's the way that God accepts us. He never required that we make it to a certain level of goodness, of achievement, of accomplishment before He extended His grace to us. And He told us to teach one another. Who are the teachers in the church? They aren't only the pastors. We are to teach one another. And when I say that, I think we're to guide one another. We are to use the method that actions speak louder than words. But we're also to use words. And by so doing, we teach one another and we help one another to grow in Christ. We honor one another. Where did you hear that word to say that you would honor somebody? Have you ever said that? You remember your marriage vows? You actually said that you would honor this person. And even in the body of Christ, we are to look at one another and to honor each other, outdo each other in honoring one another. And we are to suffer together. There are kind of tiers of being in the one another's. You share with one another, you study with one another. A deeper tier would be where you're serving one another and where you're serving together with one another. But kind of the deepest tier is the willing to suffer with one another, to bear one another's burdens. That's why it is so important to be a part of a community within the community. Jesus realized that there's only time and energy that can be put into about 12 people. Now, he preached to thousands, and he did a lot of good by doing that. They said he was astonishing. He preached to us as one with authority and not like our scribes and Pharisees. But when he got serious about what he was doing in this world, he surrounded himself with just 12 people. And he said, this is the way that it's going to work, because 12 people can know each other. 12 people can understand each other. You have time to deal personally with one another, and you have time to instill in one another, you know, this great thing that God is doing. You can't do that in a crowd. You need to be with just a few people somewhere in order to, you know, to grow in that way. One of the one another's is forgive one another. And Jesus often used the words like, forgive as I have forgiven you, love as I have loved you. Have you ever seen any way for life together to progress without forgiveness? Because we do. We hurt each other. We let each other down. We betray each other. Sometimes it even hurts a lot worse because it's coming out of the body of Christ. I once had a minister to come to one of the churches where I was pastor, and that night he decided to focus on this particular aspect of the Christian community, and he had all of us to bow our heads and think about somebody in the church that we were having a hard time liking. Somebody that we were having a hard time relating to. And when it comes to fight or flight, we just soon not be around that person at all, ever again. And then he said, now I want you, with God, to pray now for that person. Pray for God's blessings on that person. Pray that God will help them to know his love and his forgiveness, to pray that she can experience everything that God wants to give. Pray for that person, and pray that you will be some way to reflect this powerful, forgiving, loving, reconciling love of God in Christian community. That night I thought of her. I won't tell you all the details. I'm not sure that that's important, but I can tell you that I just had a hard time praying for her, and that night I really didn't pull it off. But you know, Jesus prayed for people that didn't always pull it off. You remember Peter? He said, Peter, the devil has demanded to have you and to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. You remember when Jesus told Peter that? How much more powerful prayer could you have than to have Jesus himself pray that your faith would not fail? And yet Peter failed. He did. That very night. He failed. And Jesus prayed for the church. And I'm not sure that the church has ever, you know, completely pulled off what Jesus asked us to do, to be one, to be unified, because unity is so important. If we can't show unity with one another, how can we be a witness to a world? But if we can show love and unity somewhere, we probably have to bolt the doors to keep people from wanting to be a part of a community like this. But what I realize too is the prayers that Jesus invested in Peter and the prayers that Jesus invested in the church are still here. They're still working on us. When you pray for something, it doesn't just leave after a one-time shot. It stays with us and it keeps working on us, even as it is working on. Jesus' prayers are working on us right now, that we can forgive one another, that we can submit to one another. That's right there in the Bible, that we can be devoted to one another. Wouldn't you like to be a part of a family like that? And Jesus said, I'm praying for you. Everything that I did would be to create a fellowship that looks like that. Because relationships are the best thing that we do. They're the hardest thing that we do. But when we get it right, life through love is never better than that. I pray that God will just continue to bless us and to allow us to love one another and to grow. You know, we're about to have some families to join the church. We've had some in the other services today as well. And we're going to ask them if they will uphold the church with their prayers, their presence, their gifts, their service, and their witness. You know, most of the time when people hear that, they think, yeah, I know what you're really interested in. You're really most interested in the gifts, because that's the money, and in our service, because we're always needing people to do things here. But you know, if I could get just one of those five, and I could guarantee that it would be authentic, I would choose the prayers. It's kind of like Jesus when he said, seek first the kingdom of God and all of these other things will be added to you as well. If we can get to the place where we are truly praying for our church and praying for one another, I think the presence, the gifts, the services, and the witness, they're just going to be there. It's powerful stuff. But that's the way that God wanted. He didn't want us to be on our own. He wanted us to start in relationship with Him. And the way that you do that is with our prayers. So let's pray. Lord, we are so aware of your blessings to us. We forget from time to time how you want to do everything together. You want to be a part of our life, but you want us to be a part of each other's life too. And you want us to be your church, because together we make such a witness in this world. And we pray now that you will help us to love in the way that you've loved us, and to do for one another all of the things that you prayed we would do with and for one another when you prayed for us. And then when, because you prayed for us and you put your own commitment out there, you went to a cross for us and you were glorified for us, that we might receive the witness of those who saw your resurrection and got the message and shared it. Oh God, help us to be a witness, primarily by the way that we live with one another, so that others might see our good works in our relationship to one another, and our works would give glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.